brought to you by Penguin.
One of Us is Back by Karen M. McManus. Read by Jeff Ebner, Sharon McManus, Holly Linneman, and Robbie Damond.
For my readers. Part 1. Chapter 1. Addie. Monday, June 22nd. Are we seriously watching this? Maeve lifts the remote, then her eyebrows. The coordinated challenge annoys me because she knows perfectly well that we are, in fact, watching this. This is the entire reason that we're sitting in front of the television on a beautiful summer day. You didn't have to invite me over, I remind her, snatching the remote before she has a chance to toss it across the room. I click the on button, then press channel until I find the station I'm looking for. I was perfectly fine at home. You're never perfectly fine after one of these. Bronwyn pipes up from the corner of an overstuffed sofa. The Row House media room is a much more comfortable place to watch TV than my living room, with the added benefit that there's zero chance of my mother poking her head in. I forgot, though, that this enhanced viewing experience would come with a heaping dose of concern. Bronwyn returned from Yale for the summer a couple of weeks ago and immediately started trying to take charge of my life, like the bossy older sister I already have. Not that I'm complaining. I've missed talking to her in the Bayview 4 group chat, which we really need to rename now that it's 9 people strong. Me, Bronwyn, Nate McCauley, Maeve and her boyfriend Luis Santos, Cooper Clay and his boyfriend, Chris Becker, and Maeve's fellow Bayview High rising seniors, Phoebe Lawton and Knox Myers. It's a very coupled off group chat, with the exception of me and those last two, possibly only me, since nobody fully buys Phoebe and Knox's insistence that they're just friends. Bayview crew, maybe? I pick up my phone and edit the group chat name. It doesn't look half bad. Who's this guy? Maeve asks, squinting at the screen. Is he going to introduce? No, I say quickly. This isn't the Eastland High program. That starts at 3 o'clock. This is, I have no idea, actually. A town council meeting, Bronwyn says. Of course she'd know. She probably watches this kind of thing for fun. Looks like they are wrapping up a budget vote. Thrilling, but at least that matters. Maeve props her bare feet up on the coffee table a little too aggressively, wincing as her heels slam into the marble top. At least it deserves a platform, which is more than you can say for. It's local cable, Maeve, I interrupt. They're not picky about their programming. My voice is even, but my heart thuds uncomfortably. And I'm torn between wishing I were by myself and feeling grateful that I'm not. The town councilman we're watching announces that the meeting is over, and the scene fades as interim music begins to play. Bronwyn, Maeve, and I sit in silence for a few beats, listening to what sounds like a weirdly plucky instrumental version of The Girl from Ipanema. Then a half-filled school auditorium appears on screen, with the words, Eastland High School Summer Seminar Series, superimposed along the bottom. Before I can react, Bronwyn abruptly launches herself off her sofa and onto mine, flinging her arms around me. Oh my God, what are you doing? I mutter, dropping my phone onto the cushion. You're not alone, Addie, Bronwyn says in a fierce whisper. The smell of green apples surrounds me. Bronwyn's distinctive shampoo, which she's used for as long as I've known her, and probably a lot longer than that, since Bronwyn is nothing if not a creature of habit. One time, when Nate was being extra mopey about their long-distance relationship, I gave him a bottle of it wrapped with a big red bow. He got annoyed, which was the entire point. It's never not fun to crack Nate's cooler-than-thou facade. But he also kept it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?